All right, we're about to go around the NFL where I'm going to give you a little bit of a conversation piece from the single greatest wide receiver of all time. But before we get there, we were talking about in the question of the day what your I remember where I was moment from your childhood as mm-hmm. Lopez had one of those, you know, one of those nostalgia hits.
Yeah, man.
Seeing a Henry Aaron celebration at
the All-Star
game.
Got a little misty in there last night.
Which, look, if there's one thing that even the most repressed men will allow themselves to get a little misty about,
yeah.
is the greatest sports people that they've ever seen. And Henry Aaron
especially
absolutely
as
falls
a kid.
Into that. Yeah. If you were trading this card and stuff like that. In fact, I bet this person from the 832 had some of that feel because they said they could still name the Tigers starting lineup from 68 and pitch a staff. I bet you had all the cards.
Dang.
I bet you had. You was just laying on your tummy on the floor.
Yeah.
Just that looking at your collection.
That is a talent right there. The name, the baseball squad.
I can do the A's from when I was a kid.
The Vita Blue and A's that
pitch a staff and all that.
Raleigh Fingers, Vita Blue, Catfish Hunter.
There's a great names in there.
Infield was Sal Bando catching, Bert Campanaris, shortstop. Let's see. I can do it. I'd have to think, but I can do it. But I do want to clean one thing up because you asked me what, Figgy?
I asked you, where do you remember the time when John Lennon died? Where were you?
And I remember it, and I confused it with another big time when I was at A&M. I said I was walking across campus and heard this murmur, people talking and stuff. That was actually when Ronald Reagan got shot. When Ronald Reagan got shot, I was going to class, and we turned on the TVs in the journalism room building. John Lennon, I also remember where I was, and I had thought about it during the break. I was in my first semester at A&M.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a place to stay because I came from Blinn because I was trying to play football. Whatever. I rented a room. A bedroom in a person's house because I was so late to the game.
Yeah.
And I was in that room watching Monday Night Football.
There you go.
Watching Monday Night Football. Howard Cosell told me about John Lennon.
Dude, and that reminds me of someone else texting in and said that they bleep us not. They were listening to Sports Radio 610 in the morning on September 11th, 2001. Yeah. And I was like, that got me thinking. I imagine it just works significantly, or maybe it doesn't work differently if you are, and this is self-centered. Obviously, I work in broadcasting, and I have to think about what happens if something of that magnitude happens while you're on air. How do you handle it? You know, ESPN actually decided that, especially this thing that's outside of sports, does this feel like it rises to the level of the greater good to acknowledge this and let people know and kind of break the you know, kind of bubble of you're enjoying the sports, which Figgy, you were talking about with the Lennon announcement on Monday Night Football. Like, how does that happen? And then compare that to 9/11. You're just something of that magnitude. You got to tell people on the airwaves.
I think something that was kind of similar, like a crazy event that happened, was COVID. And I remember I was on the air when they started.
I was on the air for
that too. Yeah, mm-hmm. They started shutting everything down. They shut down the rodeo. And we was on the air. I think Lopez was on vacation, but we were on the air with Smitty and Trap.
Oh, wow.
When all of this stuff was happening. And so we just started naming all the stuff just all the breaking news that was happening with COVID.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So that was a little bit of a crazy way to kind of, I guess, transition from sports into. Now the NBA is canceled and this is canceled. It was crazy.
Well, I was calling Rudy Gobert all sorts of names. Why are you out here touching all these things? Why are you not being serious? You see what you did? And then just to be fair, there's a number of people also still coming in with like the sports memories that they had. Like somebody mentioning Ralph Sampson shot to beat the Lakers in 86. Said dad was watching their mobile home. And is that Lissy? Said Sampson made the shot, stood up, and the Rockets won. So shout out to you.
That's a good one because he said he's running through the hallway and waking up his mom and all that.
Yeah. I missed it the way that the text broke up. Ran down the hallway, back in the living room, waking people up.
Sampson made the shot.
That's awesome. Yeah, man. Keep sending those in, man. That's a shot of dopamine as we go around the NFL. And I will jump. Actually, no, I shouldn't jump immediately into the place that I want to go and start nonsense. I did want to say that we will have a season with no franchise tags, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday. The last franchise tag holdout, Trey Smith, who is a lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs, avoids the tag and agrees to a 4-year, $94 million extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. So he's now highest player at that position, and he joins three of his teammates to be the highest players at their positions on the Kansas City Chiefs.
And this is encouraging to me, and you guys are probably tired of me saying this all the time over the years, but the cap and manipulating the cap and maneuvering your way through the cap has never really been that intimidating or scary to me, because, as I often say, there are people in that building whose entire job is to work the cap and find ways of doing it. The Chiefs, Super Bowl contender every year, have four of the highest paid players at their position. You can do this. You can be great and have players happy and pay them.
I do think, and you're not wrong in that regard, but it's very particular. It is worth noting, though, when you talk about the Chiefs and the way that they've been able to continue to do this. There have been points where they have had an awful offensive line and an awful wide receiver.
Oh, no, you have to make some decisions.
Right.
But you can do this. If my bigger point is, you want to pay Will Anderson, CJ Stroud, Derek Stingley, and who's another? Nico? You can do it. You can do it.
Yeah, you can do it, but some other place is going to take a hit.
Sure.
Which, I mean,
and that's how you get there.
And it's more about the decision.
Yeah, it's how
like,
you get there.
Like, do you feel like we can get away with a bad, average, below average offensive line?
Right.
Let's do that to keep these other players.
And it's a salary cap sport as well.
What are you saying, Figgy?
That's how this sport works. It did make me think, though, one of the things I also thought is, how long until the Texans have one of those deals that they have to make on the offensive line?
Yeah. I mean,
because I don't see the guy that you go, hey, this guy is set up to be that guy.
I mean, your hope is Ursary.
Yeah, that is the next best chance, and I no idea as of yet.
Yeah.
Which that is the thing that I go, okay, the one thing that I would love to be is the team that just got the offensive line that goes crazy.
Sure.
Because that's one of those things that no matter if it's, you know, what else is happening, if you got a really good offensive line, you have an opportunity to be really good at football. So that happened. Some other things that are happening around the NFL. I saw this because, you know, we've been watching ESPN put out their top 10 lists with other considerations. And this came courtesy of a dude that I like to annoy people with at times by calling him the single greatest wide receiver of all time. And it's not Jerry Rice. It is Randy Moss.
Yeah, you're annoying.
West Virginia Zone. And ran West Virginia Zone. And the reason why I got a chance to kind of chuckle at this is that he was talking to the South Florida Sun Sentinel. And he was talking about how he is absolutely one of the best. In fact, speaking to the media at an event for his restaurant that is now paired with the Dolphins for concession stands at Hard Rock Stadium, he said that the political answer for the best receiver of all time is Jerry Rice. And I imagine you know where this goes. However, quote, if we are talking real football where I knock your ass out, it's me. Close quote from Randy Moss. Thoughts?
Jerry Rice would knock your ass out. of all places to go, Jerry Rice was one of the most physical wide receivers in history.
Yeah.
And so, like, you can say, hey, I was faster. Nobody's going to argue.
Correct.
You know, you can say, hey, I was better on the long ball. A little bit of an argument because Jerry Rice could break.
He was good, but
I think Randy Moss
that one, man.
But greatest wide receiver of all time is Jerry Rice. And don't go there. Jerry Rice was knocking fools down. And his power and his hand. Remember the whole story about he used to catch bricks from his father?
That is correct.
And all that stuff. He was.
Shout out to Mississippi Valley State's own.
He was strong.
Jerry Rice. And man, it's also a time period where don't go over the middle, dog, unless you want to try and put your head back on with screws.
Yeah.
So, man, I thought that was a very funny point to make that I never imagined Randy Moss himself would have made, except he believes in himself more than anybody else does. And why wouldn't you if you were Randy Moss?
Of course. I don't blame him.
Randy Moss is the dude. We're a half a step off the line. He's like, hand in the air, I'm open. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
Chuck it up there, dog.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to the assertions of Randy Moss, is that the more bewildering one or is this? Randy Moss, when asked about Tyreek Hill, obviously, who is currently a Miami Dolphin, he said, quote, he's nowhere all time. Where is he at in today's game? Tyreek Hill is probably top five. I put him top five. But also then, that's close quote, but I'm saying it's worth noting. He is saying that when it comes to all-time wide receivers, Tyreek Hill is nowhere. Like, let's not have that conversation whatsoever. Do you agree with him there?
I don't mind it. I don't know how much I agree with him there. And, you know, Tyreek Hill is explosiveness. We all know the story. But all-time?
Yeah, I'm kind of there, too.
I wouldn't put him all-time.
I would look at Tyreek Hill as kind of like a hood legend. Somebody that's like.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, somebody you talk about in the barbershop, like, man, nah, he was cold.
Yeah. At his best, you know, one of those conversations.
Because if he was to retire right now, where do you put him?
Ooh, that is really tough.
20? Top 20?
Maybe. I think maybe.
Yeah, that's maybe.
That's a big maybe.
That might be a reach.
And what's tough is like that's an 8-time Pro Bowler, 5-time All Pro, Super Bowl champ, and all decades team guy. Yeah. Like he's absolutely kind of Hall of Fame type guy.
But not higher than 20, right? 2018, 19, or 25?
I'm going to have to actually
we're going to have to look up a list.
We're going to have to actually start putting this down. Like he's not top 5.
No, God.
Like not even close. No, and I think that's but I don't know I wish that somebody would have followed up like, "Hey, Randy,
give me your list.
I don't even need you to go through the entire list. Give me a ballpark.
Yeah.
Like what you're thinking. Because when he says not nowhere, does nowhere mean, nah, he ain't no top 5. He ain't no top 10.
Yeah.
Top 25?
Yeah.
Top 50? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what are we starting to talk about at that point is the question that I then have. But I just found it interesting because at this point in time in the season, what do I need more than just news? Something that gets the people going. And Randy Moss is like, don't worry, fellas. I got you.
I
got you on this particular day. So shout out to them there. Also, shout out to the city of Cleveland who refuses to let good things happen. Figgy, I brought this to you particularly because I know that you have been invested in this Cleveland stadium. And I think you as well, New Huntington Bank, Lopez, because it's just an interesting thing that I think gets our attention because we are in that space where antennas up for the possibility of new stadium.
Yeah.
In the even if that is relatively slim, whatever that, I don't know, even know what the percentages are that we feel at this point on renovation of NRG versus the possibility of new stadium. But Cleveland was hoping to use that Art Modell law of, you know, moving away from Cleveland in order to keep the Browns from going to Brook Park, the neighboring suburb. That was not necessarily working in the way that was happening because Ohio was like, yeah, we could just change that law, dog. So right now, Cleveland is petitioning a judge in order to do this. They went the American way. Mm-hmm. Litigation, baby.
Yeah.
We will take this to the courts to stop y'all from going.
Yeah, I mean, sure, why not? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They was. I feel like they was using the Modell law kind of wrong too, man. Because that was trying to stop a team from leaving the actual
the city. The,
yeah,
the area.
State going to another state.
Mm-hmm.
Not Brook Park is like 2 minutes away from Cleveland, man. You fly into Brook Park.
Yeah.
When you go to Cleveland, so that's I don't understand why they was trying to do that.
That's more. We want ours.
That's
in
called
the city.
That's called a Hail Mary.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Some other things that are happening. Oh, I really should have mentioned this as well. I didn't even mention the Randy Moss quote about Justin Jefferson, so I apologize for that quote. I think Justin Jefferson is on pace to be arguably the greatest ever and definitely the greatest Viking to ever do it, which is high praise for Justin Jefferson.
I can see that.
As Randy Moss is like, Jerry Rice, what about me?
I got an idea. This guy.
But also simultaneously, Terry McLaurin is really frustrated still in Washington that like the rate of not even just getting the deal done, but just the rate of or the lack thereof of conversation up there. How are you feeling about the possibility of Terry McLaurin maybe not remaining with the Commanders for very much longer?
As in coming here?
No, I don't think that's
oh, you think he's trying to come here?
No, that's not within the realm of possibilities, right? Like that's right?
No, it's not.
Okay,
no,
I just want to make sure. But it does feel like that's why Washington Commanders are a team that people are looking at very interested in what they're doing, but this doesn't feel like the way to try and start on the upturn of what has been obviously ascendant, Jayden Daniels and a team in general that is stepping out of the mire of the era of Dan Snyder. And now one of the biggest faces that you've had for your fan base is now frustrated with a lack of progress to a contract extension that I imagine should be relatively easy to do because he's a very, very good
player. Yeah, I think this is more good old-fashioned posturing on both sides. I can't imagine that it won't get done.
Okay.
Yeah.
That simple as that. You're like, this is much ado about
think
nothing.
About what they've been doing this offseason.
Yeah. I mean,
they've been investing everything they can
just,
in that
they
team.
Just came from the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, that's correct. And they're adding pieces and they're spending money.
At this point, you're trying to get to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough.
And the division they're in.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. That's Around the NFL here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610 from the 832. Jerry Rice is the all caps, greatest receiver ever. I think most everyone would agree with that. And then who would you rather have, Tyreek Hill or Steve Largent?
Steve Largent.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Steve Largent, I'm going to be very vulnerable here right now, is Steve Largent is a dude that I know in theory is just, that's a dude that is unassailable. Mm-hmm. I don't actually know it in practice, and I feel bad about that.
Right.
Understandable. Yeah. Shout out to Seahawks legend Steve Largent. All right, you're in the Loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, yesterday we were starting into the space, and we kind of got hemmed in on like just the pitching when it comes to the Astros. But now the All-Star game is done, we're kind of barreling towards what the second half of the season is going to look like. What do the Astros need to have happen? What do they need to do in order to make sure that they're able to contend in the way that they want to in the second half? Let's talk about it next.